We're going to talk about Bris Milah today, for obvious reasons. I got to go a little bit into this at the Se'uda, but we're gonna develop the idea a little bit more. So be mishtatef for everybody in the Simcha. We had a Bris for my third son today, so we'll talk a little bit about inyanim, concepts, ideas of Bris Milah. If you had to choose a source, if you were writing the Gemara, and you had to choose a source for the mitzvah of Bris Milah, which pasuk would you point to? Right, we all know Chamish Yechum Shetorah, so where would we go? Ezra. That's interesting. That's an involvement of Bris Milah. I wouldn't say that's the source. We have a mitzvah to do Bris Milah. Right? That's with Avram and the others. That's relating to the Bris Milah. It's not a mitzvah of Milah.
It doesn't have the one that the Pesach talks about and actually do.
Where? Which Parsha? Which? Which Sefer?
Bereshit.
So Sefer Bereshit. Right? Hashem comes to Avram and says, I want you to do Bris Milah. They have a whole dialogue and then Avram actually does Bris Milah. That seems like it would be a great source for the mitzvah. Are there any other possibilities?
Maybe say, I mean, this is more Midrash. I don't know if it's Midrash, but when the agent comes to the tax office.
Okay. We don't know exactly what's going on there, but yeah, there's definitely something that involves Bris Milah. Then Tzipora came, and she took a rock. And I think it's explicit that she did Milah. I think it's explicit. Okay, that's an interesting one. That shows us that Milah is something which needs to be done. It definitely shows us how important Milah is. Another possible makor, yeah?
Maybe another idea is like one that talks about how we have to be separate from everyone else.
That might be what's behind the mitzvah of Milah. It doesn't tell us anything about the mitzvah of Milah, but that's an important idea that might be built into Milah. We'll actually get there. We have one very big problem with those psukim that we suggested. Anything which happens before Har Sinai, the Rambam has a famous klal. Anything, any psukim, any mitzvot, any ideas which are given before Har Sinai are inherently suspect as sources for mitzvahs. There are three main mitzvahs which we point to that were mitzvah before Har Sinai. Pirur Ruvu, Milah, and Gid HaNashe. The three mitzvahs which are given basically in Sefer Bereishis. I'm going to talk about Kiddush HaChodesh, is important also. Those are the three mitzvahs which are given in Sefer Bereishis. The Rambam says that the only reason we're commanded, we're mitzvah in those three mitzvahs, is because they were chazer and mitzvah, they were given over again by Har Sinai. And if not for the fact that Hashem gave us those mitzvahs again a second time, we would actually not be commanded to abide by them. That it's Har Sinai, it's Nesinas HaTorah, which obligates us in mitzvahs, and not anything which happened over the course of Jewish history before that point. So any of those psukim, Hashem coming to Avram and saying, do the Milah, even the story with Moshe Rabbeinu and his son, those are nice, important makoros which point to the importance of Bris Milah, but it's very difficult to say that those psukim will be the sources which are mechayiv us in Milah. So what's the other option? So there's like I wouldn't call it a throwaway line, but there is one pasuk in Parshas Tazria, right? Yishaki Tazria v'yaldo Zachar. It says on day 8, v'tamashi v'as yomim, ki mei nidas devosat, ki tamash will be tamay for 7 days, uvayom hashmini yimol b'sar or laso. So Parshas Tazria is in Sefer Vikra, it passes the post-Sinai test. That pasuk seems to fit much, much more with the basic rules of what obligates us in mitzvos. What's the downside of using that pasuk? Yeah, the context is totally not Milah related. The context of Tazria and Mitzorah, that whole thing, is Tumah Mitara. And then the next few psukim develop the ideas of Tumah Mitara. A woman who gives birth is Tameh for a certain amount of days. She's different for a boy, different for a girl. The context is very much Tumah Mitara. Milah is almost an afterthought in that context. So it's almost difficult to say that pasuk is going to be the source for the mitzvah of Milah. We have difficulties, we have pros and cons on each side. So it's very interesting, if you open up the Bavli and you open up the Yerushalmi, they choose different psukim as the source for the mitzvah that a father needs to give a bris milah to his son. The Bavli chooses, the Bavli is the Marin Kedushin, Chav Tesman Aleph, points to Bereishis, it's Chav Aleph Dalin, while the Yerushalmi draws from Parshas Tazria. So again, we already spoke out. There are pros and cons of the psukim in Bereishis. There are pros and cons of the psukim in Vayikra. What might be behind the machlokes? Really, I think our main question is what justifies using Sefer Bereishis. Right? We have an important klal from the Rambam that psukim from before Matan Torah are not really valid for obligating us to mitzvos. How could the Bavli, and the Rambam quotes this as well, but how could the Bavli quote from Pesukim before Bereishis to give us that marmukum, that source for the mitzvah? So the Torah Tanima, Rabbi Baruch Levi Epstein, the 1800s, 1900s, he suggests that...
Who is this?
Who is the Torah Tanima?
Oh,
Torah Tumima. So yeah, he points this out, and he says that's actually this question was actually the Yerushalmi's motivation in choosing Tazria. Right? The Yerushalmi recognized this problem that the Rambam spoke out and said we can't bring a pasuk from Bereishis. Therefore, we're kind of left with the pesukim from Tazria. He's asking our question, and the Yerushalmi actually liked our question so much that it disqualified the pesukim from Bereishis and only had left the pesukim from Tazria, even though they weren't the most ideal. The context of Parshas Tazria is not really Milo related. The Yerushalmi rejected the possibility of quoting from Bereishis, and therefore was only left with Tazria. This is Smag, one of the Rishonim, one of the Moni HaMitzvos, also quotes from Parshas Tazria of Yom HaShmini, Yimol Basar Orla. So that seems to be the stronger position, right? The Yerushalmi, the Smag, that seems to be the more of a default. We should be quoting from Vayikra, Bereishis should be disqualified. The question we have to ask is what's shot in the Bavli? How could the Bavli quote from Bereishis? How could the Rambam quote from Bereishis doesn't seem to fit, doesn't seem to make sense. Just to qualify the question a little bit, we do know that the mitzvah was repeated, right? No one's saying that we shouldn't be mitzvah in Bris Milah at all, right? We know that even if you don't want to quote from Parshas Tazria, the mitzvah was eventually repeated. It was nechal, it was doubled, and therefore passes the Rambam's test. We are mitzvah in Bris Milah. The real question is which pesukim should we be quoting? Should we quote from Bereishis or should we quote from Tazria? You need Tazria to be present. That's the makkah b'patish, which guarantees that this mitzvah is relevant. I would have expected that we should be quoting from there. So we're going to try to develop an approach to explain this surprising Bavli. We're going to examine another surprising part of this Gemara. The Gemara also in Kedushin Chavtes says that women are pater from obviously from Bris Milah, but from doing the Bris Milah. A mother is not mitzvah to give a Bris Milah to her son. It's a father's mitzvah. How do we know that? If you have to suggest a source for that din, why should a mother be pater from Bris Milah? Ah, beautiful, Mitzvah Sishas Ma'an Grama. Right, very simple, you don't need psukim, you don't need anything. It's a klal, in halacha, women are pater for Mitzvah Sishas Ma'an Grama. What's the Ma'an Grama of a Mila? What? Oh, what if you didn't do it on the eighth day? Oh, you're definitely right. It's not like over Yom Batal Karbanim. You definitely need to get that milah done. It's a question, are you chayav kares from the day that you miss it, or are you only chayav kares if you die without having the bris milah? That's an interesting machlokes. But you definitely need to get the bris milah done at some point. So if you don't do it on day 8, you got to do it on day 9, you got to do it on day 10, and 11, and 12. It's definitely a mitzvah, which is nimshah. So is it a mitzvah? So that's an interesting one. Is it a mitzvah seishas man grammar or not? The Gemara does not bring Mitzvah Sosheshes Man Grama. We'll talk about that in a second. Instead, it quotes a pasuk. Marcus is exerce a pasuk. Hashem came to Abram and said, "Ametzave you, Oso, to give a milah to Yitzchak." The Gemara is Dorish Oso Vilo Osa. Abram was commanded, not Sarah. So again, this is all very much within the problem that we've been talking about, right? This is all psukim and sefer bereishis. None of this should be meaningful halacha l'maisa, but we're trying to deal with that exact question. Oso below osa. Now Tosfos asks, because exactly like Yaakov brought up, v'im tomer lomali kra tepuchle de mitzvah saseh shazman gramahu shenimol bishmini lileidaso v'nashim b'turos women are pater. You don't need a pasuk. You don't need exer sakasu. Mitzvah saseh shazman gramah. V'yesh lomar kivan d'miyom hashmini v'hala ein la hefsik lav zman gramahu. Since past the eighth day, every single day you need to get that milah done, therefore it's not mitzvah seishas man grama. So you ask the question, isn't it a mitzvah seishas man grama? It needs to happen on day 8. No, it's not, because it's a mitzvah nimshachas. If you don't do it on day 8, you got to do it on all the other days. And therefore, if you want a pater a woman, you need the gzeres hakasur. A further question. V'im tomar akati mitzvah saseh shezman gramahu. What are you talking about? It still qualifies as a mitzvah saseh shezman grama. De'ein mullin ela biyom. Mila only happens during the day. Right? Let's say dalad minim. Women in dalad minim for sukkahs. That's a mitzvah saseh shezman grama. That's probably because it's only on sukkahs. Tefillin is a mitzvah saseh shezman grama. That's Shabbos also. But we say the laila lavzman tefillin and therefore it's a limited mitzvah. So since we don't do Mila at night, Bris Mila is still a mitzvah saseh shezman grama. Back to our question, why do we need the pasuk? Oso v'lo osa? V'yesh lomar da'asya keman de'amar hasam, the Mila shelo bizmana no heges bein biyom bein belayla. This Gemara is going according to the opinion that we don't pasuk, Mike, that a Mila shelo bizmana, a Mila after day 8, can be done whether both at night and during the day. Ask me a very basic question.
Why?
Why what?
Why would you be able to do
so? That okay? That, in that sugya they discuss the sugya and Yivamos. Why should you be able to do mila during the night, during the day? That's a question for there. Say again.
Isn't Mark talking about a case where it's talking about on the day eight?
We're talking about the mitzvahs mila, which should happen on day eight, but it's the exact same mitzvah on the subsequent days. It should be very difficult for Tosfos to give that answer. Right, Tosfos is explaining the Gemara in Kedushin, which seems to be a very halachah l'maisa Gemara. He's explaining it aliba to the opinion, according to that opinion, that we don't pass the mic. That's very difficult. That's very tough. Why would Tosfos do that? That's not a good read. That's not something I would embrace. That's not something I would think is a good way to read the sugya. The only way he can explain the Gzeres HaKasuv of Oso below Osa is if he chooses to read the Gemara according to that opinion, that we don't pass the mic. Mila, Shalokas Mana happens Ben Beyom Ben Belayim. He's definitely being duffled. He's definitely pushing himself into a corner that he doesn't want to be in. What's pushing Tosfos to do that? And we know why. This is all explaining why is the Sovelo is unnecessary, but that's very, very hard to explain. Now, Tosfos accepts that Mila actually is a time-bound mitzvah. Other Rishonim answer that challenge in a different way. Other Rishonim can explain in really interesting ways to get rid of the mitzvah sase says non grama, thus justifying the pasuk. Say Tosfos Rid. Tosfos Rid redefines the mitzvah's mila. We thought that what is the mitzvah's mila? You take a knife and you cut the mila. You do the act of bris mila. Tosfos Rid says no. That's not what this Gemara is talking about. The obligation here is not to do the act of removing that foreskin. That's not the mitzvah of Mila that we're discussing here in the Gemara and Kedushin, but rather it's about actively working towards facilitating its removal. To be osik in the process of getting that Mila off. So when can I do that? What's the time period where I'm able to be osik in getting the Mila off? Is there any limitations on the asika? The cutting needs to happen during the day. Can I call the mohel at night? Absolutely, right? No problem with that. Can I rent the auditorium at night? 100%. So the asika can happen at any time of the day. It can happen both during the day and at night. The Tosfos Rid says, why are we calling mila a mitzvah saseh she'ein hazman grama? Because even though the act of mila can only happen during the day, the asika, the involvement, being involved in the mitzvah, that's something which is not time-bound at all.
Is that just a hechsher mitzvah?
Oh, very nice. I would have thought that's just hechsher mitzvah and not the same thing. Tosfos Rid seems to be saying that you could say one of two ways. Either the mitzvah of mila is broader than you expected, or the father's obligation in the mitzvah of mila is not the act of mila, but preparing for the mila. That would be very interesting to say also. Anytime you're talking about mitzvah chinuch, anytime you're talking about things that A has to do for B, which a lot of the stuff a father does for a kid is in that category, the question is really whose mitzvah is it? Is it the father's mitzvah to do something, or is it the kid's mitzvah? Something needs to get done, and the father's the prime person who's going to take care of that. So there are two ways to, I guess, explain that. So since the preparation can happen at any point, it's a mitzvah sasesha ein hazman grama, and that's why we need the pasuk of osa below osa. We didn't have mitzvah sasesha hazman grama yet. Mike, great.
Yeah. Technically, the wife can also do that. The mother can also prepare.
Right, she could be. She very much could be involved. It's not a mitzvah to say that's around grandma. She could do it. But there's a pasuk, Oso v'lo osa, telling her she's not chayim to do it. She could, but she's not chayim. Oso v'lo osa.
So this is not mitzvah.
Yeah, this explains why it's not mitzvah to say that's around grandma, which then justifies the Gemara using a pasuk. Since Tosfos, though, this is all is a foil for Tosfos. Tosfos accepted that Mila is a mitzvah aseishes man grama, and the only way Tosfos could explain the Gemara, the Gzeres HaKasuv, is with that dachlik answer of this is according to the opinion which holds Mila shalobas mana is both nighttime and daytime, which we don't accept. Right? Tosfos is very difficult because Tosfos Alibid Hilpsa admits or agrees Mila actually is a mitzvah aseishes man grama. You don't need a pasuk. Our Gemara is dachlik. Tosfos Rid doesn't have to give the Dafik answer because he has that nice chaf redefining the mitzvah. The Ramban has a different approach. He's redefining mitzvah cessation is not grama. Instead of dealing with mila, he deals with the entire klal. This is really cool. What is the exemption of mitzvah cessation is not grama? It's mitzvahs connected to the woman's guf, to the woman herself, such as tefillin, which is actually the source for mitzvah cessation is not grama being patur. Since bris mila is more concerned with the kid and not the woman, right, that's pretty clear. The exemption is actually not relevant. It's very much a limiting the klal of mitzvah cessation is not grama as a patur for women. That klal only ponders them from mitzvahs shebe guf, not mitzvahs that relate to other people. Are there other mitzvahs which fit into that category? I'm not sure. I can't think of other mitzvahs which would be included in mitzvah cessation is not grama shayach to somebody else's guf. It might be that this is the only mitzvah kind of in that box. But okay, we redefine the klal. So where are we hoping for the Ramban? Mitzvah cessation z'man grama is not a p'tur. We need a different p'tur to explain why women aren't chayiv, and that's our pasuk oso below oso. So just to take a step back, we have Tosfos dealing with the problem, Tosfos Rid and the Ramban dealing with the problem. Why do we need oso below oso? Don't we have mitzvah cessation z'man grama? Tosfos says, yes, we do have a problem. It really should be pasuk because of mitzvah cessation is not grama. And the pasuk is only for the opinion that we don't hold like, very dafuk. The Tosfos Rid and the Ramban have a much nicer way of dealing with it. Tosfos Rid says, mila really is shach l'kol hazmanim, so we need the pasuk. The Ramban says, we've redefined mitzvah cessation is not grama, and therefore, again, we need that pasuk to patur women. Our big difficulty is with Tosfos. Just to take this one step further, Tosfos' acceptance of Mila as a mitzvah cessation is not grama, really accepting that as opposed to the other two shittos, is not value neutral, right? If you admit that the exception for women is based in mitzvah cessation is not grama, rather than exer sekasuk, there are practical implications. There are nafkaminas of taking that opinion. Minchas Tanuch brings this up, and he has a couple of possibilities. One of them is, are women chayiv to give a Mila to their servants, to slaves? Right? When slaves... It's a quasi-conversion when a person takes on a non-Jewish slave. Part of that conversion is mila and tvila. So when a woman acquires an eved, is she mitzuvah in getting that slave circumcised? It depends on if her chiyuv or her pitur is a mitzvah cessation z'man grama pitur or oso below osa. If it's a mitzvah cessation z'man grama pitur, what's the din? A woman for a slave, chayv or pater, she'd be pater. It's the same exact mitzvah cessation as not grama. But if it's the gzeiras hakasav of oso velo osa, what's the context of that line? Hashem talking to Avram about Yitzchak. If you can say that milas banim is different than milas avadim, then the gzeiras hakasav paters a woman for the mila for her son. But it makes no comment on her responsibility to be mal eved, to be mal slave.
Wouldn't it be the opposite?
Why?
That she has to go on her son and not the eved.
It's the Gzeres HaKasav which tells her, oh, you're saying from what perspective? From like an abstract conceptual perspective?
Maybe I misunderstood what you just said.
So let me say that again. There are two possible ways to pater a woman for milas bun. It could be Gzeres HaKasav, Hashem told Abram to do the mila for his son, and he didn't tell Sarah, oso velo osa. Or it could be a general klal, mitzvah cessation is not grama, women patur from all those types of mitzvahs. Now, when you try to carry over a woman's responsibility in milas banim and apply that to milas avadim, does the reason hold or does the reason fall away? If it's a mitzvah cessation is not grama, the same time bound nature of milas banim applies to milas avadim. If she's patur for one, she's patur for the other. If the p'tur is based on Exeris HaKasav, oso velo osa, you got to look at the context of the pasuk. The context of the pasuk was for milas banim, but we have no idea what Hashem wants from women when it comes to milas avadim, and the default is they should be chayiv. So for Tosfos, a woman who buys a slave would be patur from the mila, because Tosfos accepted mitzvah cessation is not grama. For the Tosfos Rid, for the Ramban, a woman would actually be chayiv. Because the only pitur we know for a woman in mila is for a son, oso velo osa, but we have no idea why there should be a pitur when it comes to avadim. So that's not a value neutral question. Tosfos is really weird. What pushed Tosfos to read our Gemara in a lav davka, in a duffic way? Shalo ali v'dehilchos, so we don't paskin, basically, that this Gemara can only be explained according to an opinion that we don't paskin. Like, it seemed like the Tosfos written, the Ramban, would have been a much better way to go. So what's pshat? Basically, the question we're asking is why such a deep involvement of Sefer Bereishis of the Parshios and Bereishis in the sources for Mila, as opposed to what I would have expected, Parshas Tazria, as opposed to bringing in, let's say, Klolin, like Mrs. Eishas Mangrama, as opposed to Xeris Hakasuv. Why are we so involved in the Pesukim and Bereishis when we usually don't consider those to be binding Aliva de Ilfasa? So here's a suggestion. Maybe there's one element, there's one point that this Gemara is trying to stress. Right? When you learn Gemara, it's not just going through, trying to nitpick on details. It's not just trying to highlight things you wouldn't have thought of or didn't think was necessary to think of. The Gemara is trying to bring out broader ideas, values, perspectives. The way it's going to do that is, number one, giving you extreme scenarios, extreme cases, which in general will highlight big deals. The classic example is anytime you put something into a life or death context, right? You move something to the extreme. This is why NCSY programs always like to talk about Holocaust shilas. Right? If you were in the Holocaust, what would you do in X case? Because when you bring something to like the farthest extreme, that's a great way to bring out two clashing values. And those kind of extreme circumstances, they come out very, very nicely. So the Gemara will often give you like very extreme type of cases to bring out these two value perspectives. There's two things clashing here, and what are we supposed to do? That's one thing the Gemara will do. It will also bring in Pesukim to try to show you, understand these Pesukim in context, and this is the lens you should see this mitzvah through. So when we're talking about Bris Mila, we're trying to source Dinim within Bris Mila. Our Gemara, it's Gemara in Kedushin, over and over again is bringing us back to Sefer Bereishis. I would have expected Parshas Tazria. This Gemara is saying, no, I don't want to go to Tazria. I want to focus in on Sefer Bereishis. So what's going on there? What's going on? We have to go into the Sefer Bereishis in order to really understand that, in order to understand what's going on for our sugya. I think the point is, don't just see Mila as a mitzvah, don't even see it as an important mitzvah. You have to remember the context, you have to remember the conversation, the charge that Hashem gave Avram right before commanding him the mitzvah Mila. Hashem came to Avram, he salech lefanai, v'hayeh tamim, walk before me, and be wholehearted with me, v'hayisa la'av hamon goyim, I'm charging you, I'm giving you this mission to be the av hamon goyim, to be the father of many nations. We'll go into that in a second. Immediately before the mitzvah's mila. Sounds like that conversation, the charge that Hashem gave to Abram and to us, as by extension, is symbolized by, or is highlighted by, the mila which follows right after that. What is that historical context? What is that lesson? What is that takeaway from mitzvah's mila? I think there's another idea. We're going to be switching tracks a little bit, and we're going to bring it all back together. We're just going to summarize where we're holding right now. We pointed out that we keep coming to the Pesukim in Sefer Bereishis as the Makoros for Dinim in Mila. Right? Tosfos focused, explained our Gemara in a duffic way to justify Osovolo Osa, the whole Babli quoting from Bereishis in the first place as opposed to Tazria. We have this focus on Bereishis, which is surprising. I would have expected Tazria. In order to understand that, we want to understand what's going on in Sefer Bereishis. We're going to be getting there through a little bit of a back way, a short back way, and we'll get into that parsha, that section of Sefer Bereishis. One of the interesting discussions, one of the interesting mysteries in halacha is what rules govern different forms of brachos. Bracha for a mitzvah can either be al mitzvah something, or it could be lit something. La asok b'divrei Torah, right? Another one.
Both also.
What?
Both.
What's both?
Tefillin.
Oh, very nice. Cool. That's very interesting. There are actually two different mitzvahs, right? Yeah. The Shaliyat is one mitzvah, Shalrosh is a different mitzvah. So that's very nice. Between two like very related mitzvahs, you actually have both formulations. Very strange. So the Rishonim spent a lot of ink, spent a lot of time trying to figure out what are the rules which govern which mitzvahs, which brachos get al, and which ones get lit. It's really not clear. The Rambam gives us his shita, gives us his approach in the 11th chapter of Hilchos Brachos, Perek Yud Aleph. Kol ha'osem mitzvah, bein she'ein achova alav, bein she'ein achova alav, im aso osa la'atzma mevarech la'asos. Os aso osa la'achirim mevarech al ha'asiyah. If you're doing a mitzvah for yourself, you use the lashon of le, la. If you're doing a mitzvah for somebody else, it's al. And he gives, what does that look like? If you put on tefillin, you mevarich lehaniach tefillin. If you put on a talis, lehis ateif. You sit in a sukkah, leshe besukkah. Mol es bino. The Rambam gives us an example. If you do mila for your son, if the father is the mohel for his own child, mevarich lamul es haben. However, if a person is a mohel for somebody else's child, the bracha changes. You make the bracha of al hamila. If the father did the mila for his own son, lamula saben, if you do it for somebody else, the bracha changes, al hamila. Lamed versus al, that's pretty consistent. In the Hilchos Mila, he repeats that. He says also for milas avadim, if a slave owner, if a master does mila for his own slave, what's the bracha? Al or le, which should be? Le? Should be le, for his own eved. Lamula sa avadim. But if he does a mila for somebody else's eved, the bracha again changes, becomes al mila sabadim. Yeah.
I feel like what about like all the tefillah you're dying? There's like multiple situations where
that's interesting. So it's not clear that we accept the Rambam. I don't think all brachas are going to follow that. Just this is his perspective. I don't know what he would say. Li tola say that. I don't know. One strange thing within the Rambam himself is there's a third type of mila. We spoke about milas ben. We spoke about milas eved. There's also... Yeah, very good. Milas ger. What bracha would a person make if he does the mila for a ger? Al or le? What?
Al.
Why al? It's not for me, right? This is a mila for him. Anybody disagree with that? Well, the Rambam. The Rambam says the bracha when you do a mila for a ger, lamul es ager. What's pshat? Why should I be personally responsible in his mila?
Because you're doing it for your own sake.
What does that mean for my own sake? It's not. I'm not joining Jewish people. He's joining Jewish people. What's the personal responsibility here? It's really weird. Kesef Mishnah picks up on this. Kesef Mishnah says, I don't understand what's going on. This is really strange. The bracha, according to the Rambam's own system, the bracha should be al milas geiri. Oh, that's exactly what the Kesef Mishnah answers. He says the question is basically the answer. Yes, every single member of Klal Yisrael has the chiyuv, has the obligation to take care of that mila. And the rule is kol hakodem zacha, whoever that guy came to and asked to do the mila, it is his personal responsibility to do that bris mila. So we've answered the question. We explained that lashon of lamed. But now we're just left with an even bigger question. Why does that make sense? Why should it be my responsibility to take care of this goy's bris? Okay, so it's not his mitzvah. Fine. He doesn't have anything else. But why should that make it mine? It should still be al milas hager. Even if he doesn't have somebody else, it doesn't make it my responsibility. Al milas geri. That's a perfectly fine bracha. Right? That we're going beyond the fact that he can't do it. We're going beyond the fact that he doesn't have anybody else to do it for him, and making it a personal responsibility. What shot in that? Oh, here we go. Let's get that ashkafa. Let's go.
It's everyone has a responsibility for your friend, and so much so that it's really not your commandment. That's
literally what we're saying. That's literally what we're saying.
Right.
So that's what we're going to try to flesh out a little bit. Yeah, that's the Ketzer Mishnah's idea. I didn't say it. It's not my like hashkafah here. This is the Ketzer Mishnah trying to answer a halachic issue.
Yeah,
I think that's great. That's always the best. So what's pshat in that? Why should something specifically like Milas Geirin have that very unique component? That I have a personal chiyuv, a halachic responsibility to give a mila to a random ger off the street, to the extent that the Rambam would say, I use the lashon of lamul, lamul sagirim, as opposed to al milas geirim. So now we're going to jump into that historical context. What's pshat in bris mila? If we understand bris mila itself through the psukim and Bereishis, then I think we'll have the answer to this surprising Kesef Mishnah, and we'll understand the broader context. Why are we pulling psukim from Bereishis in the first place, as opposed to the more intuitive source of Parshas Pasuria? So this is Perek Yud Zayin of Bereishis. Vayavram ben Tishim Shana v'Teisha Shanim vayira Hashem al Avraham vayomer Elav Ani Kel Shakai Yisalech Lefanai v'Ayei Tamim. Hashem comes to Avram, he's 99 years old. Walk before me, be wholehearted, be fully mine. We'll have a covenant between us, we'll have an agreement between us. I will make you Many, very, very much so. Vayipol Avram al panav edaberito Elohim lemor. Avram falls on his face. That could be agreement. That could be full subjugation. It's almost a symbolism of vehayetamim, be wholehearted with me. Avram throws himself down and says, "I'm all in. I'm fully at your disposal." That agreement, Hashem continues, and vaani hine brisi itach. We're making this covenant. You should be an Av Hamon Goyim, the father of many nations. Now, what does that mean? What's that line? The Netziv explains. The Netziv says that until this point in history, what's Avram been doing with his life? Right, Avram, at whatever age, Avram recognized the Kaddish Baruch Hu, and he became a traveling preacher. He would give people meals and talk to them about God, right? Classic Hebrew of free food. You talk about God, and everybody becomes from that way. It's a nice thing. Avram was the one who came up with that model. So that's what he's been doing, and he was pretty successful. He had the Nefesh Asher Asu B'Charan, him and Sarah. They had people who they were able to kind of bring on their team, but it was not at all a widespread movement. They had not brought the masses towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had their Yechidim, they had their people who they actually converted to Abraham religion, to monotheism. They did a good job, but not an incredible job of swelling the ranks of the Jewish people. Hashem says to Abraham, "I'm changing your mission statement. I don't want you doing that anymore. I want not just your few followers coming very, very close to me. I want the entire world getting to know that God exists." That doesn't mean becoming Jewish. I'm not looking for every single person to convert. I want you to teach, to inspire, to educate the rest of the world that there's a God and that has an impact on your behavior. That changes how you're supposed to live your life. Don't become Jewish. I'm not asking you to obligate yourself in Tariag Mitzvos, but to recognize that there's a God in the world. That's what I want your role to be. V'hayisal ba'av hamon goyim means get out there and teach the world that I'm here, that I exist, that I'm a part of the world, and that has ramifications for the way they're meant to live their life. Zehaya haratzon v'hatachlis sheyu kol umos olam yodim es Hashem. The goal of the world was for everybody in the world, not just Jews. The goal of the world was for everybody to recognize God. V'ha'elilim kalil yachlif, get rid of Avodah Zarah. L'davar zeh hisir HaKadosh Baruch Hu es Avram sheyihi ritzono l'hashkia da'ato liyos l'av hamon goyim l'hakiram es Hashem. As the father of the world, his job was, Avram's job was, get the entire world to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's how Avram would do his job as the Av Hamon Goyim. That's a hard job, right? That's not simple at all. It's going to take a lot of people. It's going to take an entire nation filling in for Avram. Avram did a great job on his own, but then Yitzhak and Yaakov and Klal Yisrael, we're following in Avram's footsteps doing that job. Now, what's the danger of that mission? What's the potential, let's say, roadblock in doing that mission properly, right? And risk if you're trying to get Asia and America. What's Asia and Africa? What's the biggest problem? What? You're spread too thin. Europe is the problem. Europe goes in both directions. You get to any other side. Right, that's the problem. And if you spread yourself too thin, Europe comes in and they just divide you. It's a big problem. So what's the issue with actually accomplishing this mission? If we just spread ourselves out among the entire world, we spread ourselves too thin, what's going to happen to our unique value system? What's going to happen to our ability to bring God to the rest of the world? It's going to shrink. It's going to disappear. That's assimilation, right? Instead of us influencing them, we're the minority. We will be influenced by them as opposed to the other way around. So what did Hashem do? What's the role? What's the function of Bris Milah? Bris Milah actually does two things. Bris Milah says, number one, this is a marker, this is an oath, that you guys are on that, you're part of that elite group, you're the role models for the rest of the world. It sets us aside in a positive sense to help the rest of the world recognize, to help us recognize that this is meant to be our role, we're set aside for something greater. That's Bris Milah number one. But at the exact same time, Bris Milah number two, also the opposite side of the same coin tells us, keep yourselves a little bit separate. Keep yourselves off to the side. Don't fully get into the rest of the world, because if you did that, you'd lose the ability to do your mission. Bris Milah has this do-all message. Be involved in the rest of the world. But at the same time, you need to keep yourself off to the side so you don't lose your values. By Har Sinai, right? By Nesinas HaTorah. Hashem told us, this is one of the first messages he gave to all of Klal Yisrael, that you guys are meant to be the Mamleches Kohanim, the Goy Kadosh. What's that charge? What's that message? The Sforno says, what does it mean to be a mamleches kohanim? The role of the kohanim in Klai Yisrael is that they were the teachers. Yoru mishpatecha liyakov, v'soras chal Yisrael. Kohanim, the main function, the main role of kohanim was they taught Torah to the rest of Klai Yisrael. We are meant to be kohanim for the rest of the world. We as Klai Yisrael are meant to teach the rest of the world about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But at the same time, goy kadosh. What does it mean to be a goy kadosh? Separate, off to the side. Don't lose your values by assimilating, by bringing yourself all the way in. We need to kind of walk that line. We need to balance these two values. Teach, inspire, educate the world about God, but at the same time, keep ourselves together and don't lose our values too soon. Bris Mila highlights those exact two ideas. Now let's go back to our Ger. Right? Our Ger walks in off the street. He's been a goy for his entire life, and he comes to us and says, I want to convert. What's he really saying? What's he saying to that Jew that he approached off the street? Well, I recognize that there's one God in the world. How do I know that? Where did that come from? If we're doing our job, it came from you. You've done such a good job. Your role in the world was to teach me that God exists. Me coming and saying I want to convert is actually a statement that you've done your job. Every single ger who comes to Klal Yisrael is making the statement that you as an individual, right? My personal responsibility, lamul es hagerim, your personal responsibility was done in such a positive, was done in such a strong way that I'm actually ready to convert. You don't have to, right? There's no chiyuv to convert. We're teaching him about God, not about Targum Mitzvos. But if he's so inspired, he's so excited about what he's seen from us, he actually wants to join our team. That's an incredibly strong statement that we've been doing our job. I think that's what's behind the Kesef Mishnah. That's behind the Rambam's Lamul Esagerim. It is a personal responsibility. That's what Bris Mila is all about. Us teaching, inspiring, and educating the rest of the world. And when a ger comes and says, I want to come in, that's what he's telling us. You've done a fantastic job. This is your responsibility. You've accomplished your responsibility. Now bring me in. So we go back to the Gemara in Kedushin. What would the effect have been if we were quoting from Parshas Chazriah? What would we have? We'd have a pasuk that tells you have a chiyuv to have a bris mila. What do we miss out on? What do you lose? You lose the entire context. You lose the frame. You have the mitzvah, but you don't have the frame, the context that it goes in. I think what this Gemara is doing, first of all, quoting from Bereshis in the first place, Tosfos giving us that duff gansu to explain why the Gemara quoted from Bereshis as opposed to giving us something like mitzvah sasechas man grama, focuses us again and again, go back to Bereshis. Understand Bris Mila not just as a mitzvah, but in its broader context. I think if we ask these questions on the sugya, if we recognize we're going through the sugya in Kedushin, and we ask that question, why are we quoting from Brachos? Why are we quoting from Bereshis? We should be quoting from Tazria. Why are we using Osov Lo Osov? We should be quoting from Mitzvah Saseshas Man Grama. Picking up on those points, learning that sugya well, focuses you over and over again on go back to Bereshis. You can only understand Mila in context of Bereshis, the values, this idea, Lamula Sagerim, inspiring, educating, teaching the world. I think number one, this I think is a very nice idea within Bris Mila itself, and within the role of the Jewish people, and in a much broader sense. I think it's also a nice illustration of the power a sugya can have. That mitzvos, the dinim, sources for mitzvos are not just technical, how did we get the source, what's the pasuk, just like read off the words and move on with your life. They're meant to be conveying ideas. And the deeper you can get into a sugya, the more questions you can ask on a sugya and understand it in a deeper way, right? That seems like a very technical al versus lit. That's a very real sugya. It's a difficult sugya. The more you can get into those types of questions and understand what's going on, the better you'll be able to understand not just what's going on in the mitzvah, but almost the why behind the what. What's pshat in, what's the, as Yaakov said, the hashkafa of this mitzvah, which I think is really what we're meant to be walking out with.